Andy, good morning, sir.
Good morning, fellas. How are you today?
Good. So it's essentially I'm still standing for Elton John for the Canucks song against Gloria. Is that what this matchup's all about here?
maybe, although they've moved on from Gloria. In case you guys didn't know it, that is no longer the team song. They don't play that song after wins. So Gloria is from last year, although maybe they should bring it back based on the way they've been playing right now over the course of the last week or two. You know, the biggest question around here in St. Louis right now is, can the Blues find their game in time before it's too late? And I guess we're going to find out.
Well, and you know what, Andy? I don't know if you were on the line when you heard us talking about Tanner Pearson. He wasn't good during game one, and then he brought it back. And we went at him in the sense that, you know, here's a guy who's won a Stanley Cup. He should understand what it's like. And maybe he went in thinking, well, it's a play-in. You know, is it going to be that quick, that good? And the answer was yes. Is that the concern for the Blues, that the Canucks have been playing at their highest level and the Blues have not been able to find that gear yet? Or do you think, as the coach was saying, okay, now it's for real on Wednesday, did they just have in the back of their head, I don't want to get hurt in the standings game. It doesn't mean anything until we start next week. Or is that just the big hope?
No, I think 100%. I mean, how do you get up for a game that in reality doesn't mean much? You can talk about seeding all you want. I mean, there is no home ice advantage. Craig Berube talked about that the other day. Listen, there's a lot of teams out there, at least some teams, specifically some teams that are playing in the round robin that are still playing summer hockey. Can you get out of summer hockey mode? I think that's going to be the challenge for teams who have won in recent years and teams who are loaded with veteran players who have, you know, winning experience. Listen, I thought this would be the case heading into this tournament. I thought teams that are playing in the round robin, teams that have won in recent years, that it would be more difficult for those teams to get up for these games than it would be for even teams like Colorado and Vegas, who haven't won in recent years. Although they've had some team success, they haven't won a Stanley Cup, and we all know Vegas went to the final a few years ago. But obviously, you know, Tampa Bay, similar situation. They got embarrassed last year in the first round of the Stanley Cup playoffs. So, you know, it's not difficult for the coaching staff and for the leaders in that dressing room to get the players' attention to know that, hey, they got to make amends for what took place last year. So I don't think the Blues took it overly serious. I mean, from what I understand, guys, talking to people who were in the bubble, specifically in the Eastern Conference, I mean, teams that are playing in the round robin have been getting after it pretty good. At night, you know, and the mentality has been a little bit different versus the teams that are playing in a quote unquote playoff round. But this is different than, you know, anything we've seen in recent years. And I think it is going to be a challenge for teams who have won in recent years to truly get to a level they probably need to get to win. And that's why you're seeing like teams like Montreal, teams like Chicago, you know, find a way to advance and upset other teams, even if on paper they should have no chance. And one more thing, everyone's saying, oh, look at all these players that left the Columbus Blue Jackets. They shouldn't have left. Now they're all on the outside left again. Guys, Columbus wouldn't have even made the playoffs, you know, if the playoffs had started in a traditional format after 70, 71 games. You know, obviously they got a second chance on life. So a lot of these teams that are getting a second chance on life, you know, some are taking advantage of it, some aren't.
Montreal, Chicago in that same boat as well there, Andy, as well. Good point. Andy Strickland from Fox Sports with us here on Sportsnet 650, looking ahead to the Blues and Canucks matchup. Puck drops on game one on Wednesday night. The Canucks, you look at the success that they had against St. Louis this year. Canucks with two wins and then the overtime loss to the Blues. One was a shootout win. There was only one regulation win. Tell me this. Obviously, the regular season's different than a seven-game series, but why did Vancouver seem to match up well against the Blues in your mind?
Well, also, the regular season, guys, what took place last year, in my opinion, I don't even think it applies to what's going to take place over the course of the next, you know, week and a half or so in this particular round. I mean, we're going back several months. Teams have changed. The mentality has changed.
Yep.
I mean, the Blues were completely rolling. Obviously, looking to repeat. They look primed to repeat. And you look at the way they have to play and the way that they play to have success, it's tough to manufacture that level of emotion on your own. And sometimes you get that by having fans in the building, by pulling up to the building, driving through thousands of fans who are there early, tailgating, celebrating in downtown, just gets up, the juice is pumped a little bit, you know? And they're not getting that. It's the travel between games. It's the bumps and the bruises. I mean, everything that you go through over the course of a playoff run that you're just not dealing with right now. You're going back to the hotel, which is why I wouldn't be surprised if it's a team that you don't expect to win the Stanley Cup who ends up playing for the Stanley Cup or potentially even wins it. And, you know, even when we get to the Final Four, what four teams are they going to be? I mean, Boston hasn't won a game. St. Louis hasn't won a game. Washington won once. I mean, these are teams kind of like what I was talking about who have won in recent years who have veteran players. So you want to go back to the 1920 season. I really don't know if you can. I mean, I even thought that coming into the play-in round when people were talking about matchups, what trends that took place during the course of the season truly apply to what's taking place in what is truly a summer hockey tournament when the season ended, you know, 4 months ago. I don't know what carries over. It's the same players, but obviously it's just different. It's hard to explain. I guess if you watch, you know, you can see the differences and the different level of motivation on some players versus others. I've talked to young players who were in the bubble. They absolutely love it. Their life hasn't changed very much, especially those who aren't married and who don't have kids. They're playing video games all the time. You know, one player called it the world's, you know, largest youth hockey tournament, except mini sticks are being replaced by beer and booze at night. So, I mean, that's essentially what it is. Why Vancouver had success against the Blues? You know, they obviously have good players. The Blues know that. They'll take Vancouver as serious as they can. But can the Blues get to the level of emotion like I was talking about on their own? Can they manufacture it without guys like Ivan Barbashev in the lineup, who's a huge piece, who's back in St. Louis now because his wife is about to have a baby? Sammy Blais is going to be reevaluated today. I mean, these were huge pieces in the playoffs last year in terms of bringing the identity of what the Blues like to do from a physical standpoint. And it brings other players into it, like an Oscar Sundquist, who has such good chemistry with Barbashev. They kill penalties together. They play together 5-on-5. So, again, it's a little bit of a different look than maybe what we're accustomed to seeing from the Blues. And it could be even more of a different look if a guy like Sammy Blais is ready to go for game one.
Andy Strickland joining us, talking all things St. Louis Blues. From afar, you look at the Blues and go, oh, well, they've got Tarasenko back. He barely played for them this year because of injury. Do you have him back in the sense, or does it look like a guy who hasn't played much hockey in the last 8 months?
He looks like a guy who hasn't played much hockey in the last 8 months. I mean, that's just the reality of it. He played 10 games during the course of the regular season. Hadn't played a game since October. I thought he looked real tentative in the first couple of games that he played in, including the exhibition game. His timing is a little bit off. You know, he hears the footsteps. You know, he understands when, you know, pressure is coming down on him, when he could take some contact. And it's forced him to, you know, fumble the puck a little bit and not execute on plays that you're normally used to seeing him execute. Now, the good news is for the Blues, from Tarasenko's standpoint, is that he looked more and more like himself yesterday. He had a couple good one-on-one rush chances, was able to get a shot off. He looked dangerous, but I still think he's got some maybe another game or two before we truly see the vintage Vladimir Tarasenko. Maybe a couple days of practice will help him as well, and maybe he finds it before game one. But, you know, the Blues had one of the top power plays in the league during the course of the season without Tarasenko, and Craig Berube has now kept that unit together, as he probably should when you consider they had the third best power play percentage in the league. But now Vladimir Tarasenko, who plays with Shen and plays with Jaden Schwartz 5-on-5, now he's coming off the ice when the Blues draw a penalty. And the other guys are staying out there for the number one power play unit. This is going to be a little bit of a challenge and see how that goes. How long will it be before Tarasenko ends up being elevated back to his normal spot on the number one power play unit? And how long can you afford to take your best offensive player and your most dangerous offensive player off the ice when you do have the power play, especially when you need a goal late in the period or late in the game or in the third period, where the Blues haven't been very good right now? They had the lead in each of their games going into the third period and then got outscored 6-0 in the third period. And guys, this is a team that didn't lose once all season when having the lead after two periods of play. So to give you an idea of where they're at versus where they were during the course of the 1920 season, that's another example why I see very little, if any, carryover versus what took place during the course of the regular season.
Andy, thanks so much for this. Nice to catch up with you again. Great stuff as always, and enjoy the series. This should be a fun one. A lot of skill on both ends of the ice, and I think the Canucks are about to get a real eye-opener to see what the measuring stick's all about, with the champs getting ready to drop the puck with a little more sense of urgency than those round-robin games. So thank you for this.
Okay, you got it. Anytime, guys.